From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the conclusion of a message entitled The Just Deserts of Sinners, another study on the theme, The Principles of Divine Judgment. The text is found in chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, which speak of God rendering to every man according to his deeds. Beginning with verse 8, the passage reveals the awful judgment of those that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Paul describes their fate as indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. These verses show the true state of sinners before a holy God. They are contentious, that is, they fight against God. In addition, they do not obey the truth, even though they know it. But what sinners have rejected in time, they will receive in eternity. In the everlasting flames of hell, sinners will realize that they are suffering the just displeasure of God. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's selection is entitled Perfect Willingness. The text is Psalm 110 and verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Blessed be the God of grace that it is so. He has a people whom he has chosen from of old to be his peculiar portion. These, by nature, have wills as stubborn as the rest of the froward sons of Adam. But when the day of his power comes, and grace displays its omnipotence, they become willing to repent and to believe in Jesus. None are saved unwillingly, but the will is made sweetly to yield itself. What a wondrous power is this, which never violates the will, and yet rules it! God does not break the lock, but he opens it by a master key which he alone can handle. Now are we willing to be, to do, or to suffer as the Lord wills? If at any time we grow rebellious, he has but to come to us with power, and straightway we run in the way of his commands with all our hearts. May this be a day of power with me as to some noble effort for the glory of God and the good of my fellow men. Lord, I am willing. May I not hope that this is a day of thy power? I am wholly at thy disposal, willing, yea, eager to be used of thee for thy holy purposes. O Lord, let me not have to cry, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which I would, I find not. But give me power as thou givest me will. desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Let me tell you what gives the fury, what gives the agony, what gives the bitterness to the sufferings of the damned in hell is the realization that they now cannot escape, that they had argued against and they had fought against and they had dismissed and rejected all their lives, but now they're confronted with it, and every second that passes throughout eternity, it is hammered home with unrelenting force to their heart. I am suffering the just displeasure of God. This is not an accident. This is not some cosmic disaster. This is not the fallout of some great event over which we had no control. This is the just displeasure of God. The God who created me. The God who said, I have written unto him the great things of my law, and they were counted as a strange thing. The God who sent His own dear Son to die that I might never be in hell. The God who stretched out His arms on Calvary's cross in an embrace that could embrace the world. That's the God I'm talking about. I am suffering the just displeasure of a holy God, wrath and indignation. When Paul said to the Hebrews, chapter 10, 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, he was giving another description of the indignation, of the fury. I cannot describe it. And if I could, I think it would so distress both preacher and listener, we'd be paralyzed with fear. The fury of offended deity. Go back to Mount Sinai when God was just, and I say just not to demean it, but He was just giving the law. He was not executing its everlasting judgment yet. But even in the giving of the law by which we will be judged. And He came down on Mount Sinai. I'm told that the whole mountain burned with fire. The thunders rolled, the heavens roared, the earth shook. And the people heard, and they cringed in fear, and God said, do not let even so much as an animal touch the mountain. It means certain death. If that was on earth at the giving of the law, what will it be when those who have been contentious, selfish, disregarding of every word that God has ever said and every benefit God has ever given, when they stand finally before God, what will it be when they stand before Him who is, Paul says, a consuming fire? He tells us they receive tribulation, affliction, and anguish or distress. Could I put it this way? Wrath speaks to me of God's revulsion against sin and sinners. Indignation speaks to me of God's repulsion of sin and sinners. Tribulation and anguish describe the experience of that wrath by the sinner. What an old Church of England bishop called the crushing and bewildering power of great grief or pain. This describes the wages of sin. And this is the punishment that sinners earn by their lives. You've heard me quote the text before. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Never forget it. You can mock a preacher, and I have no doubt there are times when some of you have. So what? You can mock a doctrine, and again, I have no doubt that some of you have. But you will not mock God. You may deceive a preacher. You may deceive a whole church, but you will not deceive God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A couple of weeks ago when we looked at this passage, I drew to your attention the words of Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. They're wonderful words for God's people, and what awful words for those who reject the Savior. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. God says to every rejecter of Christ, I will give you everything that you have worked for. This is the basic teaching of this text. It carries lessons that only a fool would dare to ignore, revealing as it does the judgment of God with powerful clarity. If you go out of this meeting tonight, you must take with you the certainty of this judgment. This is not my theory. This is not free Presbyterianism. This is not Protestantism. This is not some invention of a priestly caste to keep people in fear. This is the revelation of God. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. It is my prayer tonight that as you go along life's journey, if you should be so foolish as to leave without Christ, that as you go along life's journey, there will be a noise in your head like the rolling of a real train as wheels over the tracks, and that you will hear constantly, after this, the judgment. Certain. The universality of this judgment, it's to the Jew and to the Gentile. Without escape. For the rich and the poor, the black and the white, the religious and the irreligious, the churchgoer and the non-churchgoer, it is for you and me without exception. But though it's universal, it is individual. The individuality of this judgment is something that Paul here stresses. Verse 6, he speaks of every man. Verse 9, he speaks of every soul of man. Verse 10, again, he speaks of every man. The idea is of every individual. We stand before God, not as a group. There is a theory that talks about the judgment of the nations, as if God is going to stand America as a whole nation, or Britain as a whole nation, or Europe as a whole conglomeration. He's going to bring the billions of Chinese as one great lump. No, my friend, when he talks in Matthew 25 of the judgment of the nations, he's talking about the judgment of individuals out of every nation. As the rest of the chapter goes on to make unmistakably clear and plain, you stand before God alone, unless you stand before God with Christ. You can sin in a crowd. You can act the fool in a crowd. You can blaspheme in a crowd. You can drink in a crowd. You can do all the rest of it in a crowd. But man, when you come to die, you die alone. If there's a million people dying with you, you die individually. And you go out to stand before God individually. The individuality of the judgment. The inescapability of the judgment. Every man, without exception. And I hope as you leave this building, you'll take with you the finality of it. For this is the great terminus of life in this world. From this, not only is there no escape, there is no appeal. There is no higher court, no second hearing. Remember, and I'll make more of this when we come back to the passage for another look at it from a different angle entirely. Remember, the judgment is not for God to discover whether you're a sinner. The judgment's not for God to discover anything. He knows it all. And he says if you're an unbeliever, you're condemned already. The judgment is for you to discover just how vile you are, so that at the end of it, even from the depths of hell, you will have to cry, O God, Thou art just. It's a final thing. And these two studies, I've spoken about two groups of people. We're all going to stand before God. We're either going to stand in Christ and with Christ, or we're going to stand in the loneliness of a lost soul, stripped of his hypocrisy, his empty religion, his dead profession, stripped of his worldly companions and all the scenes of his sinning, a naked soul before God to be judged according to his deeds. I want to ask you, where do you stand? Just two groups, not Jews and Gentiles, not Presbyterians and Baptists, not Episcopalians and Roman Catholics, not Americans and Iranians or Iraqis. Oh no, those things are going to pass by the board. Saved and unsaved. Where do you stand? I have put in your hand tonight an infallible way of knowing if you're still in your sin. If you're still a sinner, oh, I pray that God will convict you not only of that, but of the fact that Christ is the Savior of sinners, and Christ receiveth sinful men. It's not too late to start for heaven. The whole purpose of this passage is to convince the sinner to turn from his error and his sin and embrace Christ. To all who are under wrath, listen, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth. So, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.